So this morning, I'm going to share a couple of different things just to kind of help strengthen our theology about the whole Christmas time. For the last few weeks, I've been talking about shepherds and angels, and I've been talking about the birth of Christ and talking about a lot of different passages. And so today I thought I'd just spend some time breaking down some of the theology and what it means for us nowadays. So real, like, boots on the pavement type thing that we can carry with us as we're around loved ones this next week. So could you play that video for me, please? There, just to kind of strengthen our theology and make sure we understand what Christmas is all about. Amen? So that was obviously tongue-in-cheek. I think you guys all got that was a joke. So it just kind of, for me, though, it brings up something that's really easy to bring when you're with family or friends or coworkers. It gives you guys an open door to tell your coworkers or your relatives. Guess what our crazy pastor played at church yesterday? Have you ever heard of the Christmas linebacker? And I guarantee you, I would be like, what? Wait, and you can just break that down. Like, no, what is the most important thing? And you can just have a discussion right from that little video, which is really funny. Oh, and if they Google Christmas linebacker, they'll find that on the internet, by the way. So you might even get people that aren't Christians looking things up about Christmas. Ooh, so there you go. You have that. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is a little bit more serious, but I think it's fun. How many people have ever heard of the 12 Days of Christmas song? I think most of us have. Do you know where that came from? Do you know what the meaning of the 12 Days of Christmas is? Could you start that slideshow for me, Kevin, please? I love it when people look like they have the deer in the headlight look. Like, what slideshow are you talking about? So the 12 Days of Christmas, every single one of the days actually has a significant meaning for Christians of that time period. Because when this song was written, there was a lot of persecution for the church. And so they had to come up with a code word, almost, to find out who was a Christian before they actually let other people know if they were a Christian or not. Because you could get thrown in jail, you could get beat up, your whole family could get arrested. And so what they did is they had the song made up so they could actually sing a Christmas song that worships God, that's complete all theology. And if a Roman was listening or some other person was listening, they wouldn't know they're actually giving God glory through all these things. So, nice. So I'll start going through these. So number one is "The First Day of Christmas by True Love Gave to Me," which I think that might be a little bit hard to read. But the line, the song that we all sing is "A Partridge in a Pear Tree." And that partridge in a pear tree signifies the Son of God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus. And so on that first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, talking about God the Father, who brought us all to salvation, God the Father loves me so much that he gave me his Son Jesus. That's where that song starts out. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Number two. It's on. Yeah. Nope. This foot. Nope. Ah, there we go. Ah, it's that foot. Okay. So number two is two turtle doves. Are you going to help me through it with up there? Okay. Thanks. Then I'll turn that off. So the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves. And the two turtle doves are the Old and the New Testament, which bear witness of God's love for all humankind through all eternity. And so when you sing in the song, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me Jesus. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me the Old Testament and the New Testament. So go to number three. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, which in theological terms, this was to mean faith, hope, and love, and that's straight from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Remember where Paul says, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love? So as we're singing these songs, have you ever sang the song? If you're like me, I'd sing this song and I'd think, what in the world was this guy tripping on when he wrote this song? It's like, who gives a partridge in a pear tree. And you give two turtle doves, why would anybody want two turtle doves? And then three French hens. If you live in France, maybe, but I personally don't know anybody that got three French hens for Christmas. But when you find out it actually means faith, hope, and love, okay, that means something then. I know some of this is actually funny, but I think there's so many things in our Christianity that people had to come up with ways to worship God when they didn't have the freedom that we have. And so they wrote songs and they came up with practices to come up with ways so they could still be a faith community but kind of be under the radar. I think most of you might know, do you know where the symbol of the fish came from? You know where it's on your, a lot of people have bumper stickers and have it on their wrists and that. That came up from, so if I thought you're a Christian, the way I could let you know that I was a Christian without giving up anything is I would just kind of draw an arc in the dirt. And then if you were a Christian, if you were not a Christian, you'd look at it and think, okay, this guy's kind of weird. And that's all you'd think. But if you were a Christian, you draw another arc on the bottom of that, which then that arc this way and both ways makes a fish wrote in the dirt. And so that's a way that they would know that they were Christians. Well, this song is on the same kind of way. You could go and you could have a Christian party. You could sing this song and other songs like it that didn't get as famous as this. And even if the authorities were watching, you could still do it. You could worship right in front of them and they wouldn't even know it, which is pretty amazing. So go to number four, please. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds. What in the world are four calling birds? The four calling birds are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So my true love gave to me the four Gospels. After it gave me faith, hope, and love, after it gave me the Old and New Testament, after it gave me his son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine in a persecuted church, or a persecuted faith community? Sometimes I don't like using the term church because what we think of church now is not what they thought of church then. It would have been very different. It would have been a faith community living as best they could under the radar and giving God as much glory as they could and sharing the gospel at risk of death. Whereas now we think of church like, well, I hope it gets out on time because I got stuff to do today. The danger of coming to church today, there's zero. I don't think any of us have ever been in danger coming to church. So imagine living on the edge like that your whole life, that's your whole existence, and then being able to have a worship song that talks about all the great things that you believe in. You'd be able to worship right out loud, just like that, and not have to worry about other people, whether they're going to turn on you or if the cops are going to arrest you. So four calling birds, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you go to number five, please? On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five gold rings. What could five gold rings be? The five gold rings represent the Pentateuch, which are the first five books in the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so while they're singing these songs, again, it's like five golden rings. If I was listening to this song not knowing what it meant, I wouldn't even have a guess. But now that I know, it's like, oh, well, that's obvious. Especially in the early Jewish community, the first five books of the Bible were a big deal to them. That was what they called the Torah, and that was, they lived and died by everything in those first five books. A lot of them would have had those things just about memorized. And so that would have been a big deal for one of the days, talking about the true love, what their true love gave to them. Can you go to number six, please? On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. Wait, what? I mean, if I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of like a soldier or a cop, and I'm listening to these crazy Christians singing their songs of what a true love gave to them, and you don't know the Bible at all, you don't know anything about Christendom, you wouldn't be able to crack this code at all. You would just think, these people are crazy. What in the world? You'd probably walk away after about two or three of the days being sang. The five golden rings are the first five books. The sixth day, the six geese a-laying, which represent the 6 days of creation. Okay, that makes sense. 6 days of creation, a geese laying six eggs. Okay, yeah, I get that. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming. Wait, what? What? The seven swans a-swimming represent the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which in the early church were way more important than they seem to be nowadays. The early church lived and died by every single scripture. And so when they came to church, they believed like what Paul would say, when you guys come together, each of you should have a prophecy, each of you should have a word, each of you should have a psalm, each of you should have something to share, so that all together we contribute that. And again, I think the early church would have looked a lot more like a circle than like a stadium. This is how we do church. This is about the only experience we've all ever had with church, isn't it? But there's usually one guy or one team up here, and then everybody else spectates. And then if this guy and that team's really good, we can actually get you to the place where you're sensing something or feeling something, and then those emotions and those feelings are your participation. So when you leave, you can say, oh, church service was really good today. I was stirred. I felt something. It's like, okay, but that's still not really a participant, if you know what I mean. Just think, if one of the main things of our coming to church on a Sunday, or just gathering, anytime we gather, was that one of us is going to prophesy, one of us is going to have the gift of ministry, one of us is going to teach, one of us is going to exhort, there's going to be giving, there's going to be leading, and there's going to be compassion. Every time we get together, how different would church look? How different would life group look? That's one of the things I really like about life group, because usually we're sitting in a circle. Because the way this is kind of how corporate America is set up. You know, you have the big cheeses up here, then you might have a couple of vice presidents, then you got a layer of managers, and then you got all the working class, which is kind of how church is set up. You got the big cheese up here, and you got the working class down here. But I don't think that's how it's set up in the Bible. I think God talks about family. And when you're a family and you're sitting at the table, everybody's equal. Even if there's a dad on one end and a mom at the other end, there's a whole bunch of kids there, you're still equal. You might have different roles, but you're equal. And so I really like that idea, being in a circle and then going, okay, who's got a prophetic word? Well, who got a scripture this week? I got a scripture, and it seemed like there was two things God was saying about, oh, what's that? And you watch a teacher gift unload these two steps. Imagine if we had that every time we got together. Every time we come in on Sunday, it's like, I'm already prayed up. God gave me the scripture. I'm waiting to see where he uses me today and who I give the scripture to today. Then I'm going to pray for him. It'd be exciting. I mean, church is good with you guys right now. Next Sunday, I'm going to wear the shirt. The shirt you guys gave me. You know? Yeah. You know the one. Behind every good pastor is an awesome congregation. Absolutely, I'm going to wear. I'm going to preach in that bad boy. You bet. I couldn't do it before Christmas is over, and then I'm aware of that thing. I'm going to start out going pointing towards next year with that. But I just want to try to encourage us on that idea. You guys have way too much inside you to come in and just spectate me. We all lose. I mean, there's 40 of you that have as much as I have. Just think if on a given Sunday, if half of us were firing all cylinders, if just half of us, we're moving supernaturally in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Imagine what would happen. Whew. Gets me excited. So, seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans of swimming, which is just as sure as all these other days. It's the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, are found in Romans 12, 6 through 8, and 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. If anybody wants notes, I can run copies of these today for you. Excuse me. You know, sometimes when you've been sick, and people ask, well, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good. You getting better? Yep, I'm getting better. And at least half of that is a faith statement. Amen. Come on. We're all getting better, aren't we? It's the whole idea. So on the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids of milking. Now, if you didn't think these people lost their minds by now, this one for sure, you're like, oh, they're out of here. They're the 8 mills of, excuse me, easy for me to say. The 8 maids of milking are the 8 Beatitudes. When Jesus taught on the Beatitudes, 1, blessed are the poor in spirit. 2, blessed are those who mourn. 3, blessed are the meek. 4, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. 5, blessed are the merciful. 6, blessed are the pure in heart. 7, blessed are the peacemakers. And 8, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And all of those are from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. So on the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids of milking. That's the Beatitudes. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 ladies dancing. Now, I don't know what that meant back then when they wrote this, but this means something totally different nowadays. And you ain't going to give that away for Christmas, let me just say. So 9 ladies dancing are the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. 9 ladies dancing are the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those are all found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping. What are 10 lords a-leaping? 10 lords a-leaping are the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments, I'll read through them real quick. They're found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. You shall have no other God before me. Do not make an idol. Do not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And do not covet. So 10 lords a-leaping are the 10 commandments. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping. I wouldn't even have had a guess at what are pipers piping. The 11 pipers piping are the 11 faithful apostles. Those would have been Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James Bar Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas Bar James. And these are all found in Luke chapter 6, 14 through 16. The list does not include the 12th disciple, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus to the religious leaders and the Romans. So 11 pipers piping are the 11 apostles, the faithful apostles. And on the 12th day of Christmas, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming. Huh. Ooh, look at that fine print. There's no way anybody can read that, right? Sheesh. Okay, I can barely read it. It's on my paper. So 12 drummers drumming are actually the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed. So the 12 drummers drumming are this. 1, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. 2, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. 3, He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. 4, He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, the grave. 5, on the 3rd day, He rose again, He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. 6, He'll come again to judge the living and the dead. 7, I believe in the Holy Spirit. 8, the Holy Catholic Church, which I just want to bring a little bit of description in that. It's not the Catholic Church as in the Catholic denomination. Catholic, when it was used in the Greek at the time of the writing of the Bible, meant the whole church worldwide. So Catholic meant the apostolic worldwide church. So when we read the Holy Catholic Church, that the doctrine wasn't that we only believe in the Catholic denomination. What the doctrine is, we believe in the whole church worldwide. Number 9, the communion of saints. Number 10, the forgiveness of sins. Number 11, the resurrection of the body. And 12, life everlasting. Wow. 12 drummers drumming. And you have all those things. So again, the kids are going to come in. They're going to share a little something about candy canes. But I just want to try to encourage us. And if you Google this, what are the 12 days of Christmas? What does that really mean? You can find all these answers right on the internet. And this gives you a great opportunity to just ask a question, no matter who you're around, whether it's coworkers or friends or relatives, just go, have you ever heard that crazy song, 12 Days of Christmas? My true love gave me. You ever hear that thing like Piper's Piping and French Hands? Do you know what the real meaning is that? And I'll guarantee you, 99 out of 100 people that you ask, especially if they're not here today, won't know what this means, even though they may have sang it their whole life. And then if you want, I would say you can, I would memorize number one, which is pretty easy. Number one is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then just skip to the end. The 12th day of Christmas, this is what that actually means. The 12 drummers drumming. These are the things that we believe through Christ. And you can just break all those things. If you can get that far, man, maybe they'll have questions themselves. Okay, well then, what about them dancing ladies? What's that mean? Well, let me explain that to you. This just means do. And you can just break it down. So hopefully today, I've encouraged you, gave you something to laugh about a little bit, but also gave you a couple of tools. We have almost a week yet until Christmas. A week from yesterday is Christmas. Hopefully I've given you some things that you can crack into any conversation you find yourselves in and bring out something that I talked about today to be able to share Jesus Christ and try to bring some real meaning of Christmas to whoever you're talking to this week. Amen? So I hope I encourage you. Brought a little laugh with the whole Christmas linebacker. It's kind of funny. And then just encourage you with this. So I think the kids are ready. If the kids want to come on in. So they're going to pass out candy canes to all of us, and then they're going to come up here and explain.
Okay, AJ, why is the candy cane shaped like this?
Shaped like the crooked?
Shepherd's crook. And God used shepherds to go and visit Jesus. Why? So everybody would know that rich, poor, everybody is Jesus came for?
Yeah.
And what do the three red lines on the candy cane, the small red lines, stand for?
Three small red lines for three magi who followed the star to Jesus.
And who did they represent?
The prophets who said a Messiah was coming. Thick red lines is the blood of Jesus. The red lines are surrounded by white lines. White means pure and holy. Jesus sheds his blood so all our hearts can be white as snow.
Good job, you guys.
Wow, great job, you guys. Now you're going to sing a song for us? I'm just teasing you. Good job. Thank you. Hey, you want to stay up here with me while I pray? All right. Awesome. Well, Father God, I just thank you for today. And the whole reason that we're here today, Lord God, is because of your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you that we can close today listening to these boys literally preach the gospel to us with a piece of candy. Lord, there's so many ways in our lives that we can communicate your truth to the people around us. And these three boys just left a great illustration in our minds as we get ready to leave here. And Lord, I pray for your blessing on all three of them and your blessing on your sons and daughters here. May we just have a joy-filled holiday season as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you over across the hallway for coffee. Oh, sheesh. Okay. I guess we're not done yet. Yep, I'm getting better. I'm absolutely getting better. Well, great. Well, we're going to celebrate communion now. Yeah, that was only a test. It was an actual emergency. Well, Heavenly Father, enough laughing. Lord, I just thank you so much that this is the table of celebration. The bread and the wine totally talk about, point directly to Jesus Christ, who gave his body and his blood for us. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. We look to this table of celebration. We look in the past for Christ going to the cross for us and dying and come back to life. We look at the now, right now, as born-again Christians living in salvation. And Lord, we look to the future for when Jesus is going to come back for us, or we're going to die and meet him in heaven. But either way, this table of celebration points to the past, the now, and the future about the greatness of our Savior. Lord, as we take this now, I just pray that you would help us to prepare our hearts. Lord, if there's anything that's preventing us from coming to you, if there's anything that's muddy in the water, so to speak, dirtying our conscience, would you please talk to each one of us right now so that we can just simply ask for forgiveness and break the hold of sin in our lives so that we can have open heavens with you. Would you please do this, Father, in Jesus' name. So we're just going to take a minute and just pray silently. And if there's anything that you need to talk to God about, please do that now. And then I'll ask everybody to come up and we'll grab these and we'll do communion together. So if you want to just come on up and grab a piece of bread and juice. I don't think we have any visitors here today, but the only requirement that we have here at Newhall Christian Fellowship to be able to share communion is to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. We'll take the bread first. Just a few hours ago, this was one loaf, and the bread always signifies the unity in the body of Christ. We are one loaf together. We are the body of Christ. So let's take this together and just thank God for the unity that we have together. Now we'll take the juice. Obviously, the bread also represents the body of Christ that was it was on the cross for us. He suffered in real ways so that we don't have to, and he took the full payment. And the juice represents the blood of Christ, which washes us clean from all unrighteousness. All always means all, whether it's in the Greek, whether it's Hebrew, whether it's English. This little cup of grape juice represents the priceless blood of Jesus Christ and cleansed all of us from all of our sins. So let's take this together and just keep in mind, all means all. If you want to pass the cups to the center, we'll pick them up in a few minutes. Well, Heavenly Father, we do celebrate the fact that all means all, that all of us have been cleansed completely from our little sin, from our big sin, from the sin we did 20 years ago, and from the sin that we did this morning. We are completely covered, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And Father, I've been looking at it this week. It's three different places in your Bible that you tell us the reason that Christ died for us was so that we could have totally clean consciences that then gives us the power to serve you wholeheartedly. And so, Lord, I pray that today as we walk out of here, clean, whiter than snow right now, Lord, that we would have the great joy of serving you wholeheartedly with completely clean consciences. Would you please give us that revelation and that power? I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I think we're done now. Well, God bless you guys. I'm glad that we can all laugh about things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Merry Christmas.